Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Hotep. Welcome to another segment of Care to Read. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live in the house. I'm here to be your advocate, the one you need, and the advisor, the one you certainly want. I am your emperor. I am here to serve you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say that we're not done with our National Poetry Month. We have one more segment that we wanted to bring to you that we weren't able to bring to you on Saturday. Omi was out getting herself elected. That's right, getting myself elected. I am now the National Executive over Project 2019. So I was out busily being endorsed as an emperor over the organization. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that I now stand over a large group of people in determining what our mission and our goal is and how we're going to spearhead that goal in each organization in every state that we're located in so that we will collaborate our efforts to look like one organization all over the nation, wherever we're represented as Project 2019. That's right, Omi is pretty happy about it, and I think I might have worked hard enough to receive that. And I want to thank my ancestors first, and I certainly want to thank a special lady by the name of Malika Ajawadi. She envisioned Project 2019 to be an international entity, and she envisioned me being a part of this organization. On her dying deathbed, I know that that would have been what I would have promised her, that Project 2019's name would go on. And that's what I've been trying to do, to close the gap of illiteracy, disparity, and bringing about knowledge. I want to say our slogan is knowledge is power. And that is why we're going to be raising about knowledge is power. So much information, so plentiful information all over the internet, all over the airways, on the phone, when you Twitter, when you go online and text. We just have abundant of information. But we have got to put a lid on it and direction for this knowledge so we can use it effectively. So Omi decided that in taking this position as the national executive, we have a mission and a goal. Our mission and a goal this time, ladies and gentlemen, is not only to close the gap of illiteracy and bring it about stories. You know, Omi can do that so well because I am a storyteller, but this is a serious side of Omi. On a serious note, we're going to be talking about our legal institution and the problem with us as African Americans being locked up and locked outside of the legal system. How can we have so much knowledge and no one has a legal handle on how to represent themselves? You know you can do that. Yes, you can. Under pro se laws, you're able to represent yourself. You're able to bring about a motion. You're able to write a brief. You're able to answer interrogatories. And you're able to do your own research and litigation. Well, how come so many of us are not doing that, you say, Omi? Why are so many of us being incarcerated and not having attorneys and have to take the governmental represented attorneys who sometimes can show partiality and a conflict of interest in a court of law? So how come most of the prisoners locked up who are learned in reading and able to read don't know about pro bono and pro se? Why? Is it locked away on me, or is it hidden? Nolan Corporation is the one we're going to be featuring today. And Nolan, you ought to be happy that Omi's behind you pushing your literature. I have been pushing your literature for many years, but this time we're going to get it out there. African Americans, you're going to purchase your first book. That's right. Under this chapter, stay tuned. You're going to purchase your first book because we're going to walk you through it and show you how to type it. I didn't say give you any advice as an attorney. We are not members of the bar here in this room, but we can assist you in finding the right book, and you sit down to your typewriter or hire your own typist and have them fill in the blanks. That's right. You have to research. You have to take responsibility for your own situation. You should be having wills. You should be looking at how to get visitation rights. You should be looking at how to write your own name changes. These are simple things you can do that you don't have to bother the attorney with, that you can walk yourself through with the necessary paperwork. And don't be surprised if you can't give your own self a divorce. That's right, under pro se law, if there is no discrimination or any type of a problem with child support and it's a straight, non-contested divorce, there are ways you can go through agencies that will assist you in typing up your own form. We're talking about form typing. We're not talking about representing yourself in a court of law. Some of you prisoners have to because you don't have proper representation, and if you're intelligent enough, you've been standing up for yourself and writing answering interrogatories, writing motions. I know you have because I've helped some of you. Under NAACP, I've written so many documentations, I don't even know who the people were. But I was committed as a pro bono paralegal to give my hours. How about you paralegals out there? Are you giving your free hours? And how about you attorneys? Didn't you pledge up under a Hippocratic oath that you would give so many hours back in free service? I'm calling on you now because I've given so many hours to legal aid. So many hours to elder care law that they decided to make me woman of the year because I gave 3 years of free time to help write all kinds of public benefits and research medical records. Now it's time that we unveil the veil to let African Americans know that knowledge is power. Yes, it's power, and you can find it through your free legal service under Nolan. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in the air to bring you into the atmosphere, but we're going to cover this last topic that we have on poetry. So just stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're right back at you in the air, and we're going to go out here and let this train go by because it's been trying to get by. Hold up to the train time. I'm in. Get on that train to knowledge is power. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome back to the Care to Read Room. This is the place where you can come and get some knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. And we haven't forgot about Nettie Letters. We're going to play that music right in the background, if you don't mind. I love that color purple music. I decided to keep it this time and not change it. Not this yet. We're not going to slip it through from white to black yet. We're going to hold on to it. Once again, I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that knowledge is power. And that is what our cliche is on the Project 2019. I haven't had a lot of time to talk to you about my agency and my organization and what we stand for, but this day we're going to talk a little bit about it. Get you in touch with what's going on. All we have is the Chronicles of Earth, and under the Chronicles of God, I'm going to be speaking out. These chronicles will be very, very important. So you want to take notes, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be learning how to crack the system and understanding how knowledge can benefit you in a court of law. Understanding how you can use self-help lawyers for pro bono or low fee, of course, that can assist you. Learning how you can find paralegals to help pipe in and be assistance and feel your legal again. That's right. In a day's time when everyone is having to file either an interlocutory bankruptcy or closure on houses, everybody is learning how to do things the cheaper way. We don't have funds anymore to run in and get someone. It will be to your benefit to find out what it is you can do, ladies and gentlemen. It will be to your benefit to find out about how you could best write your own interrogatory and tell your own story. Some of you are very literate. I know you are. Some of you are capable. I know you are. Because if you can fill in the blank and answer the questions and research, some of these forms can be assisted. You can get the assistance you need to fill these forms out. So why am I talking about this? Why am I telling you about going after doing your own legal work? I'm not telling you anything. This is your decision. I'm telling you what knowledge is available to you. Form preparation under self-help pro se legal work is available to you, family. And if you have prisoners that are locked away and don't have representation, stop and go get your terminal, go and Google self-help and Google Nolan under free materials. It's out there. This month we are going to be featuring all of Nolan's free material. I'm going to give it to you up front, of course. You can go get the material, read it, come in this room, talk with Omi about it intelligently. I'm not here for a debate. There's no attorneys in this room. No one in this room is a member of the bar. We do not practice trial law. We do not practice law at all. What we are is intelligent form secretarial legal assistant. I have been trained as a legal assistant, and that is to assist an attorney or to assist you in finding the proper venue for your prima facie cases, for your case law. I can point you in the direction, but I cannot, and I repeat, I cannot tell you what to put in those blanks, or I cannot advise you. I am not your advisor. Omi is not your advisor today. Take that off the list. I am just your emperor here to serve you and not to be of any interest to you and telling you what to do in your processing of your paperwork. Get that clear. Don't get it twisted. Somebody over there is already getting it twisted. No, I didn't say I was a member of the law. No, I didn't say I was a member of the bar. And neither did I say I was going to process any papers for you. So don't you dare get it twisted. Let's get this thing straight today. We are going to represent ourselves and pro se and helping ourselves. This is the way you close the gap, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to get off that tip and get right into finishing up a few stories that I didn't tell you out of school. That's right. I wanted to tell you a little bit about a narrative story that was so precious to me that I wanted to bring it back to you, ladies and gentlemen. Even though Saturday I wasn't here, I apologize. I'm going to bring it to you strong and heavy and bringing it back to you about what is going on now. Now, in the write-up, you will see that Omi put in there The Dark Child by Karma Leigh. Now, our main focus will be on the significance, ladies and gentlemen, of the institution of initiation and rites of passage. You've heard me do something like this, yes, I know, before in the Yoruba faith, but I'm talking about all of those rites of passage for other cultures, sort of like looking at African Americans and saying, what is our rites of passage? And you probably are wondering, what rites of passage does the African American have? Since when did they go over and take a line of people over? Now, they do it in the Greek organizations. I want you to know that. However, the churches are acting like a counterfeit. You very rarely hear the churches say, come on, we're going to take a group of young men over and we're going to endorse these young men. Very rarely. Now, you do hear the Jewish people talk about bar mitzvah. Say it with me, bar mitzvah. That is a form of rites of passage, ladies and gentlemen. And in that bar mitzvah, ladies and gentlemen, they take 13-year-old boys over and transition them into men to work on the issues of fear that they have, the fears that they may have had all their life. They work on that with them, and they tell them not to fear. Now, I'm going to have you students stop now, and if you have a map in your home, you might have a map in your home, you might have a map somewhere at your job, but go over and look on that map. Take a look on the African map and find Guinea. Find the continent of Guinea, which is located near the coastal region of West Africa. It is bound on the north by Senegal and Mali on the east by Mali and Ivory Coast, and on the south by Libya and Syria alone. Now, when you see that area of Guinea, just think of the libations, because we're going to do libations right now. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit and say, Ashe, Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit and I say, Ashe. I am from the continent of Senegal, so in putting the water here, it's very, very crucial that I don't come before my ancestors with a stale face. I wash my hands and my elbows. So I don't greet my ancestors with a stale face. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this situation here in Guinea, you may want to I want to discuss some things beforehand with you. Now, according to Korea, the Muhammad received his first of his relations during the Ramadan. Can you say that with me? Ramadan. And the ninth month of the Muslims' year, Muhammad proclaimed all Ramadan a time for fasting during the month. Muslims refrain from eating or drinking. Can you believe that? Between dawn and dark, they didn't eat anything. They passed the daylight hours in prayer and meditation of sleep. And of the fast at sunset is occasion for rejoicing. There was singing and music. When Ramadan passed, a festival began, which is marked by the giving of presents. The rise of circumcision is practiced throughout the Muslim world. What is circumcision? We will discuss that with you shortly. The ceremony is often accompanied by parades, festivals, dancing, and singing. You might want to give students some teachers, you might want to tell the students that you can have a festival and do parades during this time. And this is what they did in Guinea. And the Guinean literature, which is dominated by the work of Camille Lay, who wrote the story. Guinea is a rich oral tradition that has been preserved by the Griots. One of the 24 ethnic groups in Guinea is the Malikis. In Upper Guinea, Leia related the Malikis epics of the Sundays into French. Another version of the Sundays legend is translated by D.T. Nail, appears in the unit also. Now, I want you to understand that a rites of passage is when someone is passing over, transitioning. And in this case, we'll be talking about young men transitioning from boyhood into man. The rites of passage vary in different societies. Now, as I told you, it is usually done publicly and it marks special ceremonials in many different cultures. Among the Jews, like I told you, the ceremony of the bar mitzvah is held. When a boy turns 13, he acknowledges that the young man has reach the age of duty and responsibility. What do I mean? Reach the age that he could take care of his own self and his own household and his own family. I'm reading this information from the African American Literature for the Manual for Teachers. Now, the Christians also have a similar rite of passage called confirmation. I don't know how many of you Christians have ever experienced confirmation. I know I haven't, and I bet none of you have. Why are we doing this? And why are we being noted in history, but there's nothing going on but the rent in the church? Let me speak to you, Christian. Confirmation is very important. I don't care if you dedicate this child back to God during confirmation, call one of your friends up front who's all dressed up, all dippy and pretty, and give her the title of being your child's grand or godmother, and let her come forward and dedicate that child back to God and call it a confirmation. Or create a real confirmation and tell your pastor you want a confirmation of the child or your family. Now, I don't know all the details on what the pastor will tell you you got to do. Maybe you got to pay some money or other, or give a big tithe or something. I don't know, but I'm sure some money is involved in it. But why don't we hear about it? Why don't we hear anything about confirmation? In many societies, coming of age involves passing a difficult test of some sort, a character of courage. Now, my son just went through a rite of passage in a Greek organization. Now, I can't even begin to tell you what that's all about because it's private. It's a secret society. However, Omi is a member of the secret society as well. I'm also Greek, and I'm also Yoruba, which are both secret societies. So there's not a whole lot I can tell you about that because when I crossed the Burning Sands, you don't want to know about it because there was some gnashing of teeth. That's all I could tell you. And in many societies, like I said, there's a passing of a difficult test of the character of the courage that you might have as a hunter. Hunting in society, for example, a boy does not become an adult until he has killed his first animal in some races, in some cultures. He has to kill an animal and become a provider for his tribe. Omi and the tribe has not killed any animals lately. I want you to know that. I am not requiring anybody in my tribe to kill any animals because I don't even want to kill a baby. But it happened, ladies and gentlemen. Back in the ancient days, they were required to kill some animal, not for sporting, of course. Caucasian, I know you like to shoot guns, you like to go hunting. We're not talking about for sporting. This is to prove that you're able to feed your family and your tribe. Now, I want to listen to any of you out there in the audience. Right now, I want you to call me. Call me right now. Get on the phone and pick up that phone and dial those digits and let Omi know about what you've gone through. 646-478-0270. Get on the phone and call me. I'm eliciting for you to do that now. If you have ever had to show courage in a situation in which you felt much afraid, and I know we've all felt that way before, but I want you to know something. Fear is a lower expression, meaning you have to overcome your lower half. It is not a normal emotion. It is abnormal to fear. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So what you experience is a lower expression if you are fearing. Okay, now, if you raise your hand, get on that phone and call me right now and tell me all about it and what is still irking you and causing you to fear. What are some of the reasons you're hiding this fear? We want to get you over this fear so you can move on. And we want you to understand that's why these youngsters are being tested, to get over their fear and to move on. Now, I said I was going to talk to you about initiate. An initiate is one who is mentored by some elder. The elder initiates you. And if you are not initiated and you're called the uninitiate, where no one has trained you and took you through a rite of passage, you have no business standing up. You have no business saying anything. In the elder court of African, they'll ask, who has initiated you? And when you come before an elder, you bow your eyebrows lower than the elder. You don't look an elder in the eyes because you're uninitiated. And you have to be initiated before you can even look at an elder. Now, excuse me, let me go on. When you get this book and you read it, the book is called The Dark Child. And some of our objectives is to understand the significance of initiation. That's one of the objectives. And the rites in their own culture, like we talked about. And we want to understand and respond to the elements of suspense and foreshadowing. What is foreshadowing? What do you foresee is going to happen? We want to also talk to you about denotative and connotative and the meaning of words. And why do we have these words that these Africans are talking about? They're talking about many, many words here that you need to understand. Now, we look at this chapter and say, what signal gathered the village boys together for the ceremony of the Conan Derriere? Now this is the ceremony, the Conan Derriere. The beating of the tom-tom accompanied by the cries and singing of the boys as they join the group together. What instrument do the boys carry and play? I want you to look for that in the story. They're carrying an instrument. They're carrying the carousel, which are the hollowed-out miniature canoes beaten with a stick. This is where all the noise is coming from. And where does the initiate's rites take place? In the story, they're taken somewhere. I want you to tell me where they're taken. The boys are led to a sacred place. Where is the sacred place? In a hollow at the junction of two rivers. That's where they're taken. When they reach the sacred place, what are the boys commanded to do by the elders? Remember, the elder is giving these boys instruction. What does he say? They are made to kneel, like I told you, to lower their heads, and to hide their eyes before the elder. Why? It's out of respect, because they're uninitiated. They have not been trained. They have no business looking an elder in the eyes. After the roaring stops, what instructions does the boys receive from the elder? What does he say? During the initiation, the boys are taught something. They're taught a chant. Ishe Oluwa Koleba Yiyo. Ishe Oluwa Koleba Yiyo. Koleba Yiyo. Koleba Yiyo. Koleba Yiyo. Koleba Yiyo. Ishe Oluwa Koleba Yiyo. Ishe Oluwa Koleba Yiyo. Koleba Yiyo. The talk is chant, a beautiful sacred chant. Now I want you to describe what kind of mood is going on in this village when the sun goes down and the people are ready for the ceremony. What kind of mood is it in this village? It's a fraternizing mood, a screaming crowd mood from house to house. They're moving and gathering the boys for the ceremony. So it's frantic, right? The sounds of the drums. In the background, you can hear the sounds of the drum in the background that are beating so fiercely in the background. Can you hear them? It's beating in the background. These drums are beating. The drums rouse the fear first. And then when the boys begin to beat their own, so they become enthusiastic and they beat along with the drum, mastering the drum beating. Here with the djembes, then the talking drum, and then the juju drum. They beat these drums. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what roles are played by the elders, by the older boys, and by the women and the girls in this ceremony? I'll tell you. The elders run the society of the uninitiated, and they conduct the ceremony and instruct the boys. The older boys remain with the uncircumcised boys at the edge of the village after the grown men and the women leave. Women and girls join the village crowd, encircling the young boys. They dance and clap their hands as the men sing. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. The men sing their song, and the women encap them in dancing, and they clap their hands as the men continue to sing. They hurry home and bar the doors because their sons cannot return home anymore. What mystery is associated with Condottiere? The narrative does not know if Condottiere is a man, an animal, or half man and half animal. Wouldn't you believe it? Sort of like the Sphinx, meaning that you rule over your head. Your head rules over your body, meaning the man, the head of an animal, the head of a man, and the body of an animal that you must rule over. What mysteries is associated with Condottiere? The narrative does not know, as we said, it could be an animal. How does the setting where the ceremony takes place add to the suspense and the mystery? There's a lot of suspense here. And as we hear the drums in the back continuing to play, ladies and gentlemen, all the suspense is coming up. Now, the ceremony takes place in the middle of the night in a hollow where an enormous boma tree stands. And the moonlight is frightening, so is the silence. Now, why is there so much silence going on here in this area? When does the ceremony reach its climax or most exciting point? I would think when the drummers are drumming, it reaches it. In the climax and most exciting point, the boys are made to kneel and cover their eyes. Then the roaring bursts out and its unexpected necessary terrifies them. What terror does the man reimagine during the Condottiere? It reveals this. He is afraid of the Condottiere will pronounce on him and carry him away in the bushes instead of the boy. Why would he be so afraid, ladies and gentlemen? Because this is a crossing over. In my opinion, what is the purpose of the in your opinion, what is the purpose of the ceremony, ladies and gentlemen? Why are they having it? In my opinion, it's a test of physical courage, which is valued highly by society today. Even today, young ladies and young men, it is valued. Even in a Greek sorority, it's valued. It also creates a bond between the young men and their elders, meaning that they now are looked up as men to their elders, and they create a bond. Does the father's advice give any direction or explain why all the boys in the village are made to undergo this test? Yes, it does. The father advises his son to fight against fear, and if he cannot master it, then not to show it. This advice is less, and it's a lesson to all of the men in the village and are expected to live by this lesson. They are expected to live by this lesson in everything that they do. Now, I'd like to read you something here where it says, recognizing the denotative and connotative meaning, and I would like to tell you what that means. A haven is a port of harbor. It is associated with a refuge that provides safety or shelter from danger. The adjective sullen means sober or dull. It carries emotional overtones of depression and sadness. The word docile means easy to manage or obedient. It suggests submissiveness and timidity. So, in other words, these annotation means that they're breaking the fear of these young men so that they, too, can stand up to their world's most fearful thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that this story by Camera Lay uses many vivid adjectives, and she uses words such as circumspect, crispy beats, disturbing uproar, impenetrable night, fearsome claws, hauling beats, dreadful anxiety, precocious havens, jostling groups, pure skies. Her poems are so vivid. Young ladies and young men, find other terms that you can substitute for some of her broad words. I do believe this initiation was called for. You have now crossed over into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as I told you in the book of Exodus. I will forevermore proclaim Exodus chapter 23 under the Feast of Unleavened Bread as we take our journey through that and being obedient. We prepare for the first fruit of festivity and giving our first offering back to God. And then finally, the gathering festivity. Festivity ceremonies are called for, ladies and gentlemen. That is why I do a ritual every day to teach you it marks a place in society for our children and for our family. If you do these three festivities throughout the year, God has proclaimed over in the book of Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 16 that he will bless you with seven blessings. One, to fight your enemy. Two, to bless your household. Three, to broaden your borders. Four, to make you the head and not the tail. Five, to make sure that there's no illness and everyone in your household is bearing children. He has given us blessings that we can partake of. Why don't you partake of those blessings today? And why don't you obtain those blessings today? Now, I like to say I've been blessed today if I never am blessed again. As I said earlier, I've been bestowed upon to be the national executive to speak and represent all of the facilities of Project 2019 to spearhead our direction and where we're going. Where we're going is to open up the ability to have pro se, to understand how it works, and to make pro bono available to African Americans so that they know how to find it and that it's not hidden away. Our objective is to be a family life center. Within that family life center, there are 14 objectives, and one of them is to have access to legal. And we're about to execute that particular agenda as we go through this month and look at legal opportunities for those victims who are not able to purchase or pursue legal representation, but through self-help, they're able to research, read materials, prepare their cases, and go before the juror and representing themselves. And I didn't say it's only representing them. Don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. This has been available to us for a long time. Nolan has been crying out to the public about their self-help books. Now is the time to get online and Google Nolan self-help books, Nolan online books that you can read for free and start helping yourself. Only a setting precedent with our chapter of Project 2019 is our main focus. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to put that out there. This is our slogan. We are going to stand behind it. There's knowledge, and African Americans, you're going to have to help yourself. Don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me. Nobody won't help me. It is available to you. You can seek out help. Do not let things pile up in the legal field. If you are to respond to somebody in the legal field, go and seek out an attorney that is a pro bono attorney that will take your cases at a limited amount of money. Some of them put in free hours. Go to these legal aid offices and knock on their door. Just keep knocking on their door, knocking, because they won't open up. They're closed most of the time. Open up those doors, open up those doors. We're going to knock those legal aid doors down because the government has put them in our community and they got to help us because that's what it says on the sign on the door. We're legal aid. We help those people who are degenerate and have low income. And even if you're not low income and you've fallen lower than a refugee, I want you to go in there and knock on those doors. Just keep knocking. Because you are entitled just as much as the next welfare person, and you ask them to help you. And if they don't, you go over their heads. You go to their headmaster, and say, I am a descendant. I have fallen lower than a refugee. I need legal assistance. If they don't want you to do it for yourself, then they need to open these doors. They have gotten funds to work in public benefit. There are so many people that are working sick that should be disabled because they don't have proper representation and they've been denied Social Security. They've given up. Well, I say don't give up, family. Keep appealing those cases. Find lawyers that will help you appeal those disability SSI and SSA courses. Programs, because that's all you have to live off of, and you're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to stay with it. And above all, those attorneys, I'm speaking to you out there. You have pledged an oath to give so many hours back. Then give those hours back. Offer opportunities where people can come in and get your assistance. I know as a paralegal we have pledged that we will give so many hours back. And I am available to assist and aid, and I make myself available. And you attorneys who have made the big bucks off of so many people, then give something back to our black communities and go back to the black community and offer workshops and show them in symposiums how to work through their process of filling out their forms. You're not giving them your secrets. You're giving them what is their inalienable rights instruction. Now, I'm telling you, lawyers, God said he's going to let it rain on the just and the unjust. And I know it's very unjust to leave a woman without any food or any income because she can't get her Social Security. It is unjust for a man to have to wait for welfare to pay his rent. It is unjust. What I'm talking about is the just shall rise up. Yes, they will. They will rise up. And we don't want our just to rise up in these end times. We want to assist them. We want to aid them. And as a paralegal, I say I'm going to do my part. Why don't you do your part, paralegals and attorneys that are pro bono?